Here is what we learn from the American Battlefield Trust, the National Park Service, and the Williamsport Sun-Gazette about the historic surrender of General Robert E. Lee to General Ulysses S. Grant that took place on the afternoon of April 9th, 1865, inside the parlor of the Wilmer McLean House in the village of Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. The two commanders presented a stark visual contrast that defined the gravity of the moment. General Robert E. Lee arrived in a flawless, spotless dress uniform, wearing an elegant dress sword and polished boots, expecting he might be taken as a prisoner of war. General Grant, suffering from a severe headache, arrived in a mud-splattered field uniform with a borrowed service coat, lacking a sword and wearing only his general's shoulder straps for identification. The meeting was remarkably courteous. The generals briefly reminisced about serving together during the Mexican-American War before Grant wrote out the terms of surrender. Grant offered generous, conciliatory terms. The Confederate officers and men were paroled and allowed to return home without fear of prosecution for treason, provided they laid down their arms. Crucially, Grant allowed the men to keep their private horses and mules to assist with spring planting, and he immediately ordered Union rations to be sent to Lee's starving army. When Lee rode away, the Union soldiers began firing celebratory gunshots in the air. Grant immediately silenced them, stating, "The war is over. The rebels are our countrymen." While the generals met inside the McLean parlor, a powerful musical dialogue occurred in the yards and fields outside. Accounts from the day highlight the presence of specific regimental bands that marked the historic transition from war to peace. The Repass Band from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, attached to the 29th Pennsylvania Volunteer Infantry as the 8th Pennsylvania Cavalry Band, was positioned outside the house. As the surrender concluded, they played iconic Union patriotic tunes, the Star-Spangled Banner. Also, they had a go at the battle cry of freedom.
Yes, we'll rally round the flag, boys, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. We will rally from the hillside, we'll gather from the plain, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
In an extraordinary display of spontaneous battlefield culture, a nearby Confederate military band countered by playing Southern anthems, Dixie, the Bonnie Blue Flag. The two adversarial bands traded songs back and forth in a musical duel that eventually shifted from confrontation into shared melodies. That was not the last time the Repass Band was to perform at Appomattox. The Repass Band was to return to Appomattox on the 150th anniversary of Lee's surrender at the invitation of the National Park Service. We'll soon learn the Repass Band was founded in 1831, and now in its 195th year, the ensemble has spent the entire summer celebrating its history and American history as the country marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And we are invited to another historic site where the Repass Band was on hand for the dedication, and that is the Brandon Park Bandshell in Williamsport. We had a chance to speak by phone with Jeffrey Dent, director of the Repas Band, to learn about all the history and all the music.
The Repas Band was formed in 1831. We are currently celebrating 195 years of continuous existence and performing. It's amazing. Historically, the band has traveled many times to Washington and to Harrisburg to perform in various inaugurations and celebrations. And some of the most historical and prominent events were the band, not as a whole, but a portion of the band was present at the Appomattox surrender of Lee to Grant. And we were invited back for the 150th reenactment of that just a few years ago. And we were able to celebrate that historical moment yet one more time with the National Park Service that day. The band dedicated and played a concert for Grant's tomb in New York City and was invited back a century later to perform for the rededication of that tomb in New York City. So we're very much tied into the history of America, as you know, and many of our audience members know, but we always like to remind people of that. The band has also performed quite a bit in the central Pennsylvania area and continues with its ties not only to Williamsport and Lycoming County, but all of Pennsylvania.
And this year you have been taking special note of America 250, the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, we have. And we've actually celebrated that in a special way with the music of our concerts. We have picked music of the Williamsport area to perform for the majority of our concert repertoire this summer.
And that says something, that you can make a full program or many programs with people who have ties to, in this case, Williamsport.
Right. It took a little research and a lot of digging in our own library to find that. But once we started exploring our library and researching some of the pieces, it became very evident that there were dozens of composers, along with dozens of community bands based in Williamsport at one point. At one point, there were over a dozen community bands that were part of the Williamsport history. But fortunately for us, we are the surviving band from many, many of those different organizations.
But they did leave, for example, some scores that they might have played along the way.
Absolutely. We are performing one of the pieces at our summer concerts, and we'll be performing at Brandon Park, will be the Imperial TDQ March. The Imperial TDQ Band was based at the Scottish Rite Masonic Temple in Williamsport for over 100 years, and they had their very own march composed for them. We happened to borrow a copy, thanks to the Masons, and we performed it at the Scottish Rite Auditorium on July 5th and invited members of the original band, who were still surviving and still around, to come back and visit us. And some of them are actually playing in our band right now. And it just shows you the history of music in the central Pennsylvania area.
And so this concert on Sunday, August 2nd at Brandon Park is just like that. There are many other stories, many other pieces.
Almost all of the works have some kind of connection to local history, yes. And that's what we've tried to tie into this whole summer.
Well, take us there then.
Okay. We're performing the Salute to Williamsport. It was composed in 1906 by Charles Dubel. He was a composer from actually the eastern part of the state and played for many years in the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. But Salute to Williamsport he composed as a salute and an honor to the heritage and the logging industry of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Its main connection, not only with the word Williamsport, is it was published by Vandersloot Publishing, which was one of the major publishers at the turn of the 1900s. In the country, and they were based in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. It's true. Actually, their building would have been, at the back of the Kohl's department store, where it's located right now, on 3rd Street in Williamsport. The next number we're performing is the Zampa Overture, which is a French overture to an opera. It's a comic opera all about pirates, statues that come to life, and of course, beautiful maidens. But the connection to this is it's in our library. It's listed as being played a long, long time ago, And as a matter of fact, when the Brandon Park Bandshell was dedicated, the Williamsport Repas Band played there. The program included a classical overture of French nature. We think it's the Zampa Overture. So we're bringing it back 112 years later to play it again on the Brandon Park stage. In 1908, the Williamsport minor league baseball team, also known as the Millionaires, won their national championship. And they had a march composed by C.D. Henniger. The cover of that march is still hanging in the Crosscutters office in the Williamsport Stadium. Well, a friend of our band, Yari Villanueva from Baltimore, is a huge baseball fan. He was at the Library of Congress doing some research, and he ran into the Millionaires March for the Williamsport baseball team. He has arranged it and given it to our band to play for this summer. So we'll be performing the Millionaires March in honor of the Millionaires baseball team, the champions of 1908. And actually, they were champions in 1905, 1906, and 1908. So we'll get a chance to hear it live. Yari Villanueva came to one of our rehearsals and talked to us about the history of the march, and then came to one of our concerts and conducted it when we were over at the Nipanos Valley Village home. We had a chance to play the Star Spangled Banner for the opening night of the 100-year anniversary at the Crosscutter Stadium this past June. We added in a performance of the Millionaires March in honor of the history of the stadium and the baseball team. So we'll be performing that at Brandon Park. We're going to perform, just because it's patriotic and it is this big USA 250 year, America the Beautiful, an arrangement by Carmen Dragon. It is the standard patriotic version of America the Beautiful that all bands and orchestras use around the entire country. You've heard it, probably at Evening at Pops. You've heard it at the White House. You've heard it at inaugurations even, and sometimes at a presidential funeral. So we'll be performing that. One of the highlights that we're going to focus on is a Preston Gowers piece. Preston Gowers was a composer from Muncie, Pennsylvania, right near Williamsport. He wrote several works, including the funniest one is the Tot with the Tan-Colored Shoes was a waltz that he wrote. But he also wrote something that's very important to our concert this next Sunday, is the Brandon Park March. He composed a march specifically for Brandon Park in 1833, so we're going to perform that as well. Harry Lincoln, who's one of the favorite Repas composers, of course, because he's one of the writers of our very own march, worked and lived, and he was a musician in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Obviously, he worked very much with the Vandersloot Publishing Company. What I didn't know is he wrote a lot of works that were used in circuses. So we'll perform one of his circus gallops called Roman Races in the concert. And it was also arranged by his co-worker at Vandersloot, Frank Losey, who I'll come to in just a few minutes as well. John Hazel was a very famous cornetist who lived in Williamsport and at one time was one of the conductors of the Repas Band for a few years. He wrote for the Williamsport Motor Supply Company the Buick March in 1921, and we now have a copy of that, and we'll be performing the Buick March by John Hazel, a famous cornetist and band leader. Keeping in the patriotic mood, we'll be doing a Star Spangled Spectacular, not really connected to Williamsport, but connected very much to USA, of course, and it's a George M. Cohan medley. So it's a collection of a lot of his patriotic pieces, and it's been very popular all summer. Frank Losey wrote the Imperial TDQ's March in 1908. Frank Losey was a trumpet player and a brass teacher. He taught at Mansfield Conservatory, which is now known as Mansfield University. He taught brass and music there, and he also directed community bands in Bloomsburg and in Erie. But as a colleague of Harry Lincoln and a publisher with Vandersloot, he created the Imperial TDQ Band March, which I talked about a few minutes ago, but we're going to play that as well. And Frank Losey's connection with Williamsport and with Mansfield just takes us right into the next number. A Mansfield graduate, and actually a classmate of mine, Brian Scott Story, composed Gently Flows the Amber Grain. And it's just a beautiful lyrical work. And as Brian stated in his dedication, it's a beautiful work that musically depicts the scene I witnessed of a sunset in Kansas in early September, with the sun low in the sky and the wind gently blowing through a sea of golden harvest grain. It almost sounds like America the Beautiful, but not quite. It's a very, very, very nice work. We performed it a few years ago, and Brian was actually in the audience and just enjoyed the performance so much. And then we're going to conclude the concert, as we always do, with Harry Lincoln, another Williamsport composer, and his arrangement of the Repas Band March, which is what we close all of our concerts with. So that gives you kind of a recap, a short, brief introduction of what's coming up on August 2nd. A lot of Williamsport, a lot of music, and a lot of history.
Not that you're into being Guinness Book of World Records bands or anything like that, but can you count on your one hand the number of bands like yours that have the longevity that you all have in America?
There are some bands. Comes to mind, the Allentown Band is almost as old as ours. They've gone through several name changes and also some periods of inactivity that I'm aware of. So they're not continuous. That's the word we use. And we're completely volunteer, while some of the other older bands, not as old as us, but getting close to us, are not truly community volunteer bands. Some of them are paid positions or hired bands. What's unique about the Repas Band is we are an open community band. We do not have auditions. We do not turn away members. We encourage anybody who'd like to play to come and play with us. And if it fits, they continue. And it's all volunteer. We have no paid positions. And we have all free concerts. You don't pay to come to our concerts.
Do you ever think about why it is that the Repas Band has lasted as long as it has? I'm sure there are a number of reasons, but do you speculate at all?
In my opinion, it's the members who truly love playing and coming to band. And also part of that community band is the word community. We're not just there to play. We're also there to socialize. We're almost like a family. And we're so connected at times, and we take care of each other. We look out for each other. There are often times where members need assistance with things, and we'll ask the band, and people show up and help. I know when the Nasanoviches, when Al, our previous director, when they were moving from Cogan Station to Lewisburg, the band moved them. They had an entire barn full of stuff that we helped clear out and move. I remember standing in their new garage with a hammer and a 2x4 pounding new shelves together. So they had a storage area in part of their garage. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. It's truly a community.
You want to give us the website and, again, review the particulars, please?
Sure. Our concert is Sunday, August 2nd at 7 o'clock in Brandon Park. Free admission, obviously. But we're always open to donations if anybody would like to donate to the band. Our website is repasband.org, R-E-P-A-S-Z. BAND.org. Hopefully our new, shiny, bright, and modern website will be replacing the older one. It'll be the same address, though. And we hope everybody who's available can come out and enjoy a concert in the evening on Sunday, August 2nd, with the Repas Band. Again, 112 years later, after we've dedicated the band shell at Brandon Park, we're going to be back again to play a historical concert. We'll be right back.
Jeffrey Dent, director of the Repas Band, celebrating its 195th year in continuous operation. Jeffrey Dent has just invited us to a concert this Sunday, August 2nd, at Brandon Park, where in 1914, the Repas Band helped to dedicate a band shell. Admission is free. The concert gets underway at 7 o'clock, and you will have a chance to hear some of the tunes that we sampled and more. That's a concert in the USA 250 series that the Repas Band has been celebrating this summer. This one Sunday, August 2nd at Brandon Park at 7 in the evening, and admission is free. For more information on the web, it is repasband.org, repasband.org, and Repas is spelled R-E-P-A-S-Z, R-E-P-A-S-Z, repasband.org.